To get a sense of the scale of what Congo is facing in a month's time, listen to how William Lacy Swing, the United Nations Special Representative for Congo, describes the poll.
These are the largest elections that the United Nations has ever assisted, by far. There are 53,000 voting sites, 300,000 election workers to be trained, more than 9,000 candidates for 500 parliamentary seats, and 33 candidates for president.
Congo-based reporter David Lewis says despite the obvious difficulties of setting up a vote after years of ethnic violence and a five-year war that devastated the country, preparations are clearly underway.
Ballot papers have started arriving. Other electoral material has started arriving, and it's being distributed around the country, but this is a huge task. It's a vast country. Roads scarcely exist outside any of the cities, and in some parts, those organizing the elections have to deal with militias and rebels that still operate in vast parts of the country.
By that, Lewis means the restive eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has been insecure since the genocide in neighboring Rwanda 12 years ago. That event sparked violence among rival ethnic groups and the arrival of thousands of armed rebel Rwandan Hutus who participated in the massacres.
Eastern Congo is still awash with various different rebel groups and militias that are active and have resisted the peace process. In Ituri, for example, it's too dangerous for aid workers at the moment to travel very far outside Bunia, so how they're actually going to organize elections remains to be seen. Katanga is another part of the Congo where there are Maimai militias operating. They have prevented electoral commission officials from traveling to some parts, and it'll be interesting to see if they also prevent voters from going to the polls on July 30th.
Luckily, Congo will not conduct these historic elections without massive international support. UN Representative William Swing.
The support of the international community today for the Congolese transitional process is the strongest since independence in 1960.
There are about 17,000 UN troops in the country, and the European Union is sending another 2,000 soldiers to provide security during the balloting. The elections will be observed by members of the Carter Center, the European Union, South Africa, and the Southern African Development Community. But political problems remain. The largest and most important opposition group, the Union for Democracy and Social Progress Party, led by veteran politician Etienne Tshisekedi, is boycotting the poll, claiming irregularities have taken place already, including a lack of transparency in setting up the vote. Polls indicate the current transitional president, 35-year-old Joseph Kabila, is likely to overwhelmingly win a first round of voting. But the UN's William Swing says even with all the challenges that lie ahead, there is reason to be encouraged. He points to last year's referendum on a new constitution.
More than anything else, it is the ardent desire of the Congolese people to have these elections. Why do I say that? These are people, many of whom walked 30 to 40 kilometers, many of them young women with a baby on their back, older people who might have voted in 1960, might have not, but two-thirds of that nearly 26 million went out on a single day and voted 84% for the Constitution, a piece of paper most had never seen, very few had ever read.
Freelance reporter David Lewis adds that the Independent Electoral Commission in Congo and the international community are determined that parliamentary and presidential elections will take place as planned on July 30th, no matter if violence, logistical difficulties, or even the opposition boycott create serious problems for voters. Catherine Maddox, VOA News, Washington.